I'm going to call my family up. We're going to sing a song, and then I'll introduce them, and then they can jump back down. And then I have a message to bring tonight. So, good evening. We got a couple people who think it's a good evening. Elvin thinks it's a good evening, I think. He's smiling at us there. And, I won't make any more comments about Elvin. But he is my friend. Elvin is my friend. We have a little joke, a little long-standing joke going on that somewhere the question came, will you be my friend? And so I ask him occasionally, Elvin, will you be my friend? And he says, will you be my friend? So just 2 days ago, he sent me a text, Rich, will you be my friend? And we are friends. That's good. Okay, so my family's going to sing a song with me. Well, I'm going to sing a song with my family. Maybe we'll go over here so they're not all hidden. So Sandy, we'll go over here. And this song is just called Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. The theme for tonight that I want to talk about is that I may know him. Talk about just revealing the Lord. And I want to take a look at what God wants us in that. And so I figured maybe we could start out by blessing the Lord as a family, and then I'll introduce you to them, and then we'll move on from there. Does this work like that? All right, this will work.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my
soul.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And forget not his benefits. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh, my soul.
My soul.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh,
my soul.
My soul. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. And forget not his benefits.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits.
And forget not his benefits.
Don't forget his benefits. Don't you forget his benefits.
Don't forget
his benefits.
Don't you forget
his benefits. And forget not his benefits.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord.
Oh, my soul.
My soul.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul.
My soul.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Oh,
yeah.
Amen. Now, before you go down, this is my wife, Sandy, and this is Caleb, and Abigail, and Ben, and Brianna, and Corinne, and Avery. So you can pray for us this week. You guys can go back. Thank you very much. It's a blessing to have a wife and children, and I really thank God for the privilege to be able to serve Him together. I did tell the children who are of school aged that tomorrow they are required to go to Shiloh school, and Friday is optional. So depending on how well you guys treat them tomorrow, some of them may come back on Friday. So just you know, be kind to them, you children. I remember I have some affinity to this area. I don't think I've ever been to this congregation here, but I would come down almost once a year to visit my relatives, and then we would go off to Whispering Pines School, and a bunch of strange people, and I wouldn't know the people, and it would feel awkward. But my grandpa was Sam Schwartz, so that's a little connection there. And I have an uncle back there. He might not want to be named, but he's sitting back there. So I have an uncle and cousins, and I know this area a little bit. So I'm grateful to be able to be here. About 9 years ago, I was kind of I'm not sure if I would say recovering. My mother was diagnosed with cancer in 2004. And she got really sick, and it really kind of did something to me. I had already moved to New York. I had been there for years by that time. So as she was progressing through this struggle with cancer, I wasn't quite able to handle it very well emotionally. So I was teaching school at the time at our church school, and I told the school board that I'll finish this year out, but you'll need to find a replacement because I don't know if I can really do this anymore. I need to figure out what's going on in here. So she died in February 2005. That was about 9 years ago. And I remember that summer, my wife and I went to a spiritual freedom seminar week kind of a thing. And on the way to there, I was so ready to have like deeper healing and deeper care for my soul or spirit. I just felt wounded. And I remember a song that would go through my mind as I was driving down to this place. And the song was, some of you may know a song called To the River. Brian Dirksen sings it. And I would wake up in the morning before I went to these sessions, and it was, "Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care." And I just think that song was kind of going through my mind. And I've talked to some of the people who ran that seminar, and they said, really, we should have given you our money back because we didn't do very well that year. But it was just so healing to me. And I'm telling you that story because I think much of what we can receive from the Lord in a gathered assembly has to do with how receptive are we. So you might ask, you know, I ask myself, well, what is revival meetings really supposed to look like? I'm not really a seasoned traveling evangelist. So what is revival supposed to look like? Is it all back on the speaker? Well, there's a good speaker this year, there's a bad speaker last year, and this next year is probably going to be a bad speaker. I was at a church a year and a half ago, and the people, there was a couple that admitted to my friends, they didn't tell me this, but they told my friends, that they had scheduled vacation over revival meetings because the previous year they had a bad speaker. So, wow, okay. So, we don't really need revivals because all we're going to do is listen to a bad speaker. You're like, that's exciting. So I remember when I was growing up, I attended a church. Pretty much every time the doors were open, our family was there. And some of my friends and I would make predictions. Okay, this revival speaker, he's going to be a little bit short. He's going to have a bald hair. And usually we were wrong. But we would make predictions on what our revival speaker was going to be like. But I'm really grateful for the chance to actually be sitting before the Word of God and hearing people come and bring the Word of God. I don't remember everything they said, but I think it's a good thing for a gathered body of believers to come together to hear the Word of God. But I would encourage you this week, if you're coming just to hear something from this guy, Rich Schwartz, and that's all, you know, you just want something, you want me to throw something at you. I didn't bring revival down in a shrink wrap little package. You know, I didn't bring it along somewhere in a notebook or anything like that. The Spirit of God is such an amazing presence that he will have his way whether I am here or not. And I do pray that I can be a catalyst, you know, somebody who is an agent, a truth bearer of the Spirit of God. But I pray that you would make your hearts receptive to what God has for you. It could be that tonight or tomorrow night or Friday night, that somebody will feel that God wants them to confess something, or God wants them to stand up and say, I want to encourage the church in this. And that might be your takeaway for the evening. You might not even remember anything that Rich said. And I don't feel like I'm going to be offended by that, because I want to turn our eyes to the Lord, and I want the Spirit of God to direct us in that. So I want to look at, actually, not Habakkuk. I want to look at Philippians 3 to start with. So if we could turn in our Bibles to Philippians 3. Thank you. Philippians chapter 3, and the title of the message tonight is That I May Know Him. And I want to read a portion of Scripture from Philippians chapter 3. We'll go with 7 through 11. Philippians 3, 7 through 11, and I'll read from the NIV tonight. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. And this verse here is what I want us to be thinking about tonight. I want to know Christ. Other translations say, that I may know Christ, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead, that I may know Him, that I may know this great Creator of the universe. You know, I don't have a video to show you of God. I haven't taken pictures of Him. I can't flip through a PowerPoint and you say, yeah, that's Him. But I want to know Him, and I want to have other people know Him. And He has given us His Word and His Spirit, and we can begin to know Him more and more. I want us to have our eyes turned to Him. If we don't have a right concept of God, why even spend our time doing church? We need to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being like Him in His death. That means we're dying, And we're becoming like Christ more and more. So I want us to turn our eyes upon Jesus. And I want us to think about the Almighty God, the Creator, and knowing Him through Jesus. So I want to have a little interlude question now. What is your favorite food? Think about it for a while. And if there's a few brave souls out there who like food, maybe you can actually tell me, what is your favorite food? Ribs? Okay. Do you like them raw or cooked? Cooked ribs. Okay. Barbecue. Barbecued ribs. Well, you just said ribs. Okay, great. So we got a brave soul out there.
Donuts.
All right. Wow. Okay. One more, maybe. One more favorite food. We got ribs and donuts.
Ice cream,
chicken, ribs.
Pizza.
Pizza. All right. Now, have you ever thought about it? The food that you like, would you like it more if you read a book on how to prepare it? Do you think that would make you like the food more? How about if you took a 15-week seminar on how to prepare that food? Like everything that goes into it. Would you like it more? I don't know. There's something about food that, you know, you either like it or you don't like it. And probably the more I would study food, some of the food I wouldn't like it as much. I'd find out what's going into it. But there's something about studying the Lord that the more you study, the more you want. Jesus said in John 4, 34, when the disciples were asking, you know, said, you know, what, we came and got you food. And Jesus said, I don't need the food. He said, my food is to do the will of my Father. John 4, 34, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. So if we want to turn our eyes to Jesus, that I may know Him, one of the things that He was doing when He came down here on earth is He was showing that that's what really gives me life. That's what fills me. That's what I long to do, is to know the will of my Father and to do it. I want to know Him, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings. The power of His resurrection. Where is the power of Christ in you, in your family, in your gathered assemblies? Where is that power of His resurrection? That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. What about the sufferings? He went through sufferings. He gave up so much. The fellowship of His sufferings. To be conformed to Him in His death, so I could know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? He's my King. He's the King, the Lord, the Savior of everyone who calls on Him. And is that your cry, your heart, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection? How do we get to know Him? You know, that's I think sometimes I have to ask myself, how do I get to know this being? Because I can't see God, this almighty Creator, the Lord of the universe, this wonderful Counselor. How do I get to know Him? And I sometimes think maybe I could be instructed by how I get to know people. So, how many friends do you actually have? How many people do you really know? Is it how many friends you have on Facebook? I don't know how many I have now. You know, it's probably hundreds if I would look that say, you know, Rich and Sandy Schwartz have X number of friends on Facebook. Does that mean that I know all these people? There's a few brave people are saying no. I asked that question at church sometime back, and somebody says, absolutely not. So they were very brave in just stating it like it is. No, it doesn't mean I know these people. I mean, some people I've said, sure, I'll be friends with you, and I have no clue who they are. I don't know why I do this. But there are some people that I've begun to know more. You know, my wife, Sandy, we've been married 16 years. And so I'm thankful that God has given me a chance to get to know her a little bit more. When I went to Bible school at SMBI, the first term I went, I made it all through 6 weeks and didn't fall in love with any girl. I was pretty excited about that. So I told God, this is just me and you, God. I'm going to make a commitment, no girls, you know, for a whole year, not going to date any girls, because this, I can do this. And the next term, we're lining up, the guys on one side, the girls on the other, starting to sing a song, and I see this girl singing across there. I thought, I would kind of like to get to know that girl. And met her in the library the next day or so, and we're whispering and exchanging photos of our families. But I'm thinking, wait a minute, I can't do much here. You know, this, like, I got to make sure that I don't overdo this thing because I've got this commitment going. So over the course of that year, over the summer, I was working with my dad in trim carpentry, and I said, okay, God, I can't think about Sandy Rhodes. That was her maiden name. So every time I think about her, I'm going to just sing. I'll just sing songs. And, like, I was singing in every room. I was putting trim down here and singing away, and I'm over here and I'm singing, you know, because I couldn't get distracted by this. But thankfully, God allowed me to get to know this girl more, and we got married a couple years later. Now, 16 years later, I probably know her about as good as anybody else, but each week I'm learning new things about her. I mean, she did some strange things last week. If any of you read some of her posts about near-death experiences, I mean, this is scary stuff. And I thought, okay, wow, I'm still learning to know this woman who is my wife. So that's just on a kind of a horizontal level with our relationships. How do I really get to know the God of the universe, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, to be conformed to him in his death? How does that happen? I think really a lot of it has to do with how receptive am I to him. You know, am I going to begin to practice a response of saying, okay, God, this is another day. I'm awakening this morning, and I think you have something for me. Show me how to listen to you. If we would get our receptivity feelers open more. And maybe I'll just pause a little bit here and speak to the younger people. Anybody under about 14, 13? I think sometimes church can feel like, you know, this is just something we do because my mom and dad tell me to do it. But it's good when you have the Word of God and you open it, or when you hear somebody speaking, it's good to train yourself to be receptive to God, because God sometimes, he speaks very clearly to just little children, and he wants to speak, but sometimes we're not listening to him. So let's work on that from little on up. And for us adults, sometimes, you know, we're 30, 40, 50, 60. We think, well, I've heard that before, so I can kind of tune out a little bit. But every time I read through the Word of God, something new shows up. And I think, you know, I'm pretty sure I've read that before. I know I've read through this before, but that's amazing. God reveals himself in new ways. So let's train our receptivity. Become more receptive to what God has. An illustration of that, for anybody who has purchased a vehicle, I don't know if this has happened to you, but I've talked to other people. So we purchased a 12-passenger van. We decided we would look like a big family, so we're going to buy a big van. And all of a sudden, there's all kinds of Ford E-150s driving around that were not around before. I'm pretty sure of it. Before, I had a Mazda MPV, and I never noticed any Mazda MPVs. As soon as we bought a Mazda MPV, they were driving all over the place. Has that ever happened to you? And you purchase a vehicle and all of a sudden you realize that, wait a minute, there's all kinds of there were that many before, but all of a sudden you're just more attuned to it. I think there's a term called the reticular activating system. There's a technical term for something in the brain that kicks in when you are attuned to something and you start seeing it more. So what would happen if we would just keep saying, God, tune my heart, tune my spirit to be able to just respond to you. And there's something over there. Okay, Lord, you know what? I think you're telling me to do this over here. Doing that, and not just as we're walking down the street, but as we open the Word of God. Lord God, this is your Word. I know this has been revealed from you. Help me to be receptive. Tune me to what you want from me as I read this Word. What would happen if we would do that? How do we get to know God? What means do we have to get to know God? And there's a long list, I'm sure. God reveals himself in ways beyond what I could even explain. But his word is one of them. And his people is another one. His spirit, the Holy Spirit, is another one. Our conscience that God has given us. Sometimes our conscience leads us back to him. What about dreams? God wants to speak to us sometimes in dreams and visions. You wake up in the morning and you say, boy, I wonder what that was all about. Well, you can ask God, because sometimes God speaks to us through dreams. And what about nature? I was interviewed yesterday by a friend, and one of his questions was, what did you give up when you moved to the city? What were some things that you gave up? And I think that's probably one of the bigger ones that I miss in the city, because I do feel like I can hear God a little bit more clearly out in a pine grove than in a concrete jungle. But I know God speaks wherever we are or wherever we seek him, but he can reveal himself through nature too. You need to thank God for the opportunities that you have in nature. So back to this goal, that I may know Christ. That I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to him in his death. If you have a goal like that, does God know you? Does Jesus know you? Does the Holy Spirit know you? And the answer is yes. Even if you are here and you have never accepted the fact that God is calling you. Even if you are here and you have never said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, please come into my heart. Even if you have never done that, God knows who you are. And there's a couple sobering verses about that that I think are in one way exciting, but another way sobering. If you could turn to Matthew 10:26, I'd like to read this verse, just one verse, Matthew 10:26. Jesus says in Matthew 10:26, do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. So, young people, middle-aged people, older people, that's great because, you know what? Even if somebody tries to cover something up, it's going to show up anyway. But it's maybe a little bit scary because even if I try to cover something up, it's going to become known. And I've thought about it sometimes. I wonder what it will be like on the judgment day or when I stand before this awesome, amazing, holy, magnificent, powerful, loving, just God, indescribable God. And I stand before him. You know, will all of my thoughts and speech and action show up on some big screen? There is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And there is nothing covered that will not be uncovered. So we might as well walk in the light now. You know, might as well start practicing it now because it's going to come out. We might as well say, and that's why it doesn't really hurt to confess sin in church. It's a good thing because if you're going to sin, you might as well confess it. And then you can get healing and hope and pray that you can have victory over it because it's going to be open sometime. God knows you and he wants you to say, I want to know you. One more verse on that one is in Hebrews 4:13. If you want to turn to it, you can. I'll just start reading it right now. There is no creature hidden from his sight. All things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So God knows everything. All things are open and laid bare before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I want to know him. He knows me. He knows you. I want to know him, and I want you to move towards him and ask him to reveal himself to you. I received a call some days ago, a 1-800 number, and I answered the phone, and they asked me, it was from my bank, they said, have you authorized a software transaction in this amount to be taken from your account? And I said, no. Then they went a little bit further and they said it was for Covenant Eyes, which is a software program that I have on my computer to help kind of regulate. Actually, there's a couple brothers who get my, whatever internet activity I have in the week goes to a couple brothers so they can see it. And then if they have any questions about it, they can call or email and say, what about this or what about this? So I pay for it, but it's worth it. So I said, oh yeah, actually that is Covenant Eyes. So I authorize that. And then they said, well, Mr. Schwartz, what about 2 days before you bought two purchases on Audible.com in this amount, and this showed up as a flag? I said, oh, yeah, I purchased those. Okay, Mr. Schwartz, thank you very much. This is the fraud alert department of Chase Bank. Have a good day. Hung up the phone. And as I was thinking about this, I was kind of in the process of considering this topic of that I may know Christ. I thought, you know, it's kind of neat. I actually feel sort of comforted that Chase Bank has an automated system that flags if a transaction shows up. And they say, wait a minute, this looks kind of weird. Let's call up Mr. Schwartz and see if he actually authorized these transactions. The Holy Spirit really knows much more than this. You know, so if I feel more secure and more comforted that Chase Bank has a little fraud alert thing going on, what about knowing that God knows everything? And I can be secure in that. Because no matter what happens, he knows what's going on. And even if I stumble, he knows, and he's calling me back to himself. That's a security right there. A fraud alert security that's impermeable. Nothing can stop it. I want to know him. I want to know him. If you could turn to 1 Corinthians 2:9-14, I'd like to read that passage there. 1 Corinthians 2:9-14. And brothers and sisters tonight, I don't know how much I will get to know each of you this week. I like to try to learn names, and so I'm gonna try to work on that. If you are my relative, I better know your name. And if you're not my relative, by the end of the week, hopefully I can learn your name. But this passage here says, the Spirit of God is who reveals the things of God. So, you know, I might get to know you a little bit, and maybe you'll get to know me a little bit. But if you really want to know the things of God, it's the Spirit of God that reveals them. And I want to just read this passage as a reminder. Quite likely you've read this. Maybe you've even memorized it. But it's important to consider it. 1 Corinthians 2:9-14. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So I can't even describe them. What God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. There's something that God wants to reach out and touch in people, and it's not just an intellectual understanding. His Spirit wants to reveal His Word in your spirit, in the heart of each person. And He wants to make that connection with you. It doesn't have to be a scary thing, a spooky thing. It's something that God wants to do to glorify His name. And I think sometimes maybe we are a little bit afraid of it. We might say, wait a minute. But as long as I can understand it and control it, I want to do that. But I don't want to kind of like get out of control. This doesn't have to be anything fearful. This natural man doesn't discern it, but the Spirit reveals it. I think we need to keep praying that the Spirit would help us to understand what God has for us. There's a book that I read sometime back, and then we had the privilege of having the person who's featured in the book, Brother Ewan. The title of the book is called The Heavenly Man. And he was at the church that I'm a pastor at. I'm one of the pastors at the church in New York. He came there about a week or two ago. And so I was reminded of some of those stories. I was really struck by the work of God in this man's life. So I went and listened to his Audible book, The Heavenly Man. We're listening to it on the way down here. And I'll just tell you one excerpt from that account that I think speaks to this call that I may know Him, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. At age about 16, Brother Ewan had his father was miraculously healed from a sickness. And he felt the call of God to call out to Jesus and felt the call of God to become a preacher. But they had no Bible in the village. So it says that he fasted every morning and noon. Day after day after day, he would eat a little bowl of rice in the evening. At age 16, he said, God, I need a Bible. Give me a Bible. And it went on and on and on. And his parents started getting worried for him. Oh, God, help our son not to go crazy. Like they thought their son was going crazy. And on the 100th day, as he was fasting, at that night, he had this kind of dream that these two men were going to bring him a Bible. So he shouted in his dream. He woke up and he starts praying, God, send me a Bible. And his parents came over and put their arms around him and said, God, please don't let our son go crazy. Please save him from going crazy. They were just pretty sure he's just breaking down. And the next day, two men came. An evangelist had sensed God saying, you need to dig up the Bible that you had saved in a can during the Cultural Revolution, and you need to send it to this man who's going to be a preacher. It's an amazing story. Wow, that's a miracle. Thank God. And that can happen to you and me, but I think the reason that really impacts me is he He longed for knowing God. He wanted to know God. He didn't have a Bible, and he fasted and prayed and called out and begged God to send him his word. You know, what would happen if a gathered group of people would say, you know what, we need to get together and fast and pray that we could know the Lord and that others would know the Lord? There in Habakkuk 2:14, it says, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord like the waters cover the sea. I think in Isaiah 59, it says the same thing. Well, that hasn't happened yet, at least not in New York City. It probably hasn't happened here from what Jerry was telling me. The earth in Due West has not been filled with the knowledge of the Lord like the waters cover the sea. But we can be a part of getting to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. We can call out to him. We can ask the Lord, please tune my receptivity to your spirit. Help my spirit to line up to what you want me to say and do. Show me, O Lord God, what you want from your word. Give me a hunger for your word, for prayer, and for your people. I want to go through a couple passages of Scripture that talk about God. And I want to read them reverently, considering who God is. Revelation 4, verse 8. I actually have them on a piece of paper, so I'm just going to read them. If you want to turn to them, you can, but I'm not going to be flipping through my Bible. I'm just going to read them. Revelation 4, verse 8. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Exodus 3, 14 to 15. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Deuteronomy 33, 27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Joshua 22, verse 22. The mighty one, God the Lord, he knows. Not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. 1 Kings 19. The Lord said to Elijah, go out. Stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, went out and stood at the mouth of the cave, and a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? 1 Chronicles 28, the Lord searches every heart, understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. In Isaiah 9, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Just want to pause a little bit here. Sometimes I think, man, our government just keeps increasing, increasing, increasing. Man. But, you know, of the increase of the government of the Prince of Peace, that will never end. It will keep increasing. Glory to God, of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. One other Old Testament passage from Jeremiah 9. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts, boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight. You know, this is not just a new covenant idea. It was really throughout the Old Testament. You know, the thing about living, the key to real living is seeking after the Lord. And as we do that, the complexities of the big life questions become more answered. Who am I? Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? And who is this person beside me? You know, those complex questions of life begin to be answered in ways we can't imagine when we put our hearts and minds and spirits to knowing the Lord. A.W. Tozer said in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." So that's one person saying that. I'm not quoting this from the Word of God, but let me just read on. "The most portentous fact about any man is not what he, at a given time, may say and do, but what he, in his deep heart, conceives God to be like. So necessary to the church is a lofty concept of God that when that concept in any measure declines, the church, with her worship and her moral standards, declines along with it." I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering to be conformed to him in his death. Hebrews 12:28 is now, you know, I went through the book of Hebrews. I had considered just preaching through the book of Hebrews in these six meetings, but I'm not going to do just specifically Hebrews. But if you look through the book of Hebrews, it is a rich book talking about the fulfillment of the covenant through Christ. And in Hebrews 12, verse 28, it says, this is speaking to believers. So if you are in this room and you are a repentant believer, a disciple of Jesus, this should apply to you and this should make you want to know him more. "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." I already talked a little bit about knowing, getting to know my wife. And after 16 years, I still don't quite know everything about her. You know, she kind of surprised me a little bit with things, but it's a good kind of surprise usually. Getting to know the Lord can launch us on a journey that nothing else can compare to. I just really want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, you know, as we get on in the week, there are some things that I want to talk about that relate with, you know, kind of how we walk, how we live. How do you treat your neighbor? What do you do about being honest? So I feel like those are key things for a fellowship. But, you know, we can't really preach at each other or tell each other how to do good moral things. We can, but it doesn't really make much sense if we don't have our eyes focused on Christ and having that as our as the one thing, the goal to have. I had an incident happen to me some years back, and this incident, I was asked, "Can you identify the person who had the gun and was shooting?" And I couldn't. You know, the short version is, I was driving home about 11:30 at night. My friend Gerard was with me, and we got about a block away from where we live on Ridgewood, entered Hale, and all of a sudden it was real quiet. I don't know, it seemed kind of eerie. And there was two guys came running out of this side with baseball bats chasing a guy, and another guy came from this side with a baseball bat. And so the guy who's being chased starts running downhill, and my friend was like, "Whoa, Richard, get down, what are they doing?" And I pulled over and picked up the phone to call 911. And then one of these guys, I'm not sure really, it was just happening too fast. I don't know who did what necessarily, but somebody in a red T-shirt pulls out a gun and starts shooting down Hale Avenue. And it was only maybe 10 feet from the van. So my friend was like, "Richard, get down, come on!" He's like ducking down like this right here. And so I'm down like this right here and telling the 911 operator, "Oh, he's got a gun, he's shooting." Okay, Mr. Schwartz, what does he look like? "Well, he's got a red T-shirt." No, but you need to give me facial... I don't know, he's got a gun, he's shooting. You know, like, so this guy then, all of them start running down Hale, and a plainclothes police officer within a minute or two, maybe less, I don't remember the time really, came running up the street and told all the vehicles to go this way. So we pull over and park, and I went and talked to one of the officers. By the way, the pistol or the gun that he was shooting hit one of the neighbors who was out walking his dog, hit him right in the stomach. So I don't think the guy died, thankfully. But that's one of the problems with violence is sometimes you hurt people you didn't intend to hurt. So I was asked to go down to the precinct to see if I can identify this shooter. And really, the only thing I could remember, this guy had a red T-shirt on. So after showing me maybe 400 pictures of all of these potential crime victims, I was starting to just see things. I could not identify it. And it reminded me of the problem of sin. And I was just like struck with how much of this issue is right there. I remember I didn't sleep real soon that night thinking about it. But there's something about that whole recognizing things and seeing and being able to identify that reminds me of this whole thing of hearing the Word of God. If we can have a receptive heart, receptive spirit, then we can actually identify when things come on and we can say, "Yes, Lord, I understand. You're telling me to do this." And we can see things more clearly, I believe, too. God has gifts that He wants to pour out on His people. He wants people to have the gift of discernment and the gift of understanding and encouragement and edification and preaching and teaching. He wants those things. But we need to have that goal that we may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways." We can seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. I want to read from Philippians 3:12-15, and let's close with this one right here. Philippians 3:12-15. We read 7 through 11 earlier. Let's go 12 through 14. So Paul has already said, "I want to know Him. I want to know Christ." And then verse 12, he says, "Not that I've already obtained all this." I can completely resonate with that statement. You know, I'm not standing up here in any way to have attained to anything. Not that I've attained all this or have already been made perfect. No way. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I want to commend you for coming to worship together and to seek the Lord's face together. I want to encourage you to do that more and more. Seek the Lord. Ask the Lord to show you how to be more receptive to His Spirit. And then when He tells you to do something, do it. Don't quench the Spirit. When He tells you to say something, say it. Don't quench the Spirit. And when He tells you not to say something, please don't say something. listen to what the Spirit of God has to say. There's a song that I... Do you mind if we sing a song? I want to sing number 44. I'm not going to ask you to come forward to an altar tonight. But I am very willing, if anybody wants to pray with me afterwards, or with anybody else, you know, in the church, if you feel like, you know what, I really want to seek God more, I feel like I need to have more of a renewal in my heart, you really shouldn't leave without asking somebody to pray for you. So I think what we'll do is we'll sing number 44, and if anybody has anything you want to share to the gathered congregation, I guess Jerry can lead that one. You can come up after this song here. Okay. And just in case you're wondering, I am going to give opportunities sometimes for people to come forward for prayer. And so I think it's good. It's good to plow our hearts, and it's good to make public professions. I didn't feel like we needed to do that tonight. Let's see. Might have to go a little higher. Come, gracious Spirit, heavenly dove, with light and comfort from above. Be thou our guardian, thou our guide, o'er every thought and step preside, o'er every thought and step preside. Why don't we stand and sing these last three stanzas? And maybe a little bit with a reverent tone of just a prayer to God. The light of truth to us display, and make us know and choose thy way. Plant holy faith in every heart, that we from God may ne'er depart, that we from God may ne'er depart. Lead us to holiness the road, which we must take to dwell with God. The living way, nor let us from His pasture stray, nor let us from His pasture stray. Lead us to God, our final rest, to be with Him forever blessed. Lead us to have its bliss to share, fullness of joy forever there, fullness of joy forever there. Father, I thank you for the privilege of being able to be called your son. I thank you, Father, for your word, and I thank you that even though my natural man could never discern it, your Spirit has given the gift of being able to just open your word, and you say, this is who you are. I thank you, Lord, that you have done that for brothers and sisters in this congregation. And I pray, Lord, that we could seek you more and more, that we could encourage one another in you. Lord, I think of this great goal that your Apostle Paul had, that I may know him And I pray that we could have that as a goal. Morning, noon, and night, day by day, week by week, month by month, that we would know you, O Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to recognize that it's actually good to die to self, to be conformed to you in your death, so that we could actually have the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of the suffering of Christ. Those are good things. And I pray that you would reveal that truth to us more and more. Just pray your blessing upon these brothers and sisters. And Lord, for anybody who has been convicted to call out to you more, maybe somebody here has never actually asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of their life. I know, Lord, that you are a merciful God. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give that gift of conviction of sin, of righteousness and judgment to come, and guide us as we pursue you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated.